This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we are talking about Inside Out 2.
Inside Out 2. When I first heard about this sequel, I was like, why do we need to go down the path of having so many reboots, sequels? I was very cautious about this, but I wasn't really expecting this. What about you?
Yeah, like when it comes to Pixar, a beautiful thing about this studio is that they make incredible, incredible films that are just one and done. Obviously, there are plenty of Pixar sequels, you know, there's prequels, there's spin-offs, but you look at their catalogue and, you know, you look at WALL-E or Up or Ratatouille or Coco or even more like recent stuff like Turning Red or Elemental. These are films that you don't really need a sequel for it, really. Even some of the ones that have had sequels, you don't really need Finding Dory or Incredibles 2. I know there's plenty of people who don't think you need Toy Story 4. Inside Out, I was very much with you. When I heard that they're making a sequel, I was like, oh, I don't know. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to Pixar and their whole mindset going forward. And I'm very aware of that. And I'm very cautious of that. And I want to talk about that a bit more later. But I'm really happy that this was a good sequel. It may not have been entirely worthy of the first film, which I think is fantastic. Definitely a 9 or a 10 out of 10. It's a brilliant, brilliant film. And I think this sequel was absolutely a good one.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good one because when it comes to sequels, like how do you live up to the first film? And that's like a big responsibility to do so. But here, yeah, I agree. It's a good sequel. It just maintained about the world of Inside Out. It still had the charm. But when it comes to Pixar, they always do really well with the structure. Like they got this X and the Five Act structure and it just fits really well, you know, with the characters. And it's just what makes the structure so engaging. Like you'll see that in many Pixar films, they'll make it definitely engaging. And I felt like this was still proof Pixar can do something really new, exciting.
Yeah, we spoke about Elemental last year and we've done videos on Lightyear and Turning Red and Luca and Soul, you know, all but one of the Pixar films of the 2020s. And they wrote the book on animated films in this century, really, especially in the late 2000s, early 2010s. You were just hard pressed to find a Pixar movie that wouldn't be a perfect blend of that childlike wonder, but also some really strong and really big emotions. I once said that Pixar was my favorite studio, and I don't know if that's still true now, but you know, you can see, I mean, I'm wearing my Toy Story t-shirt today. You know, like it's a big one. I'm always so thrilled and intrigued to see a new Pixar. I mean, next year we're getting Elio, which has been delayed so many times, and I'm so excited to see that has to bring. Just like another original Pixar thing. And Inside Out it's up there. It's one of those. And so this film had an uphill battle. How are you going to take everything that is great about the first film and take it to the next level? And I think that there are some really interesting concepts that they introduce in this film, ways to kind of progress the narrative and ways to make it more interesting. I mean, the big thing is that we get to see new emotions. We get anxiety and envy and embarrassment and ennui. And that is so much fun. It makes so much sense that as you get older, you experience new emotions and you as a person expands. And so the world of Inside Out expands. It's really compelling to do that. I remember one time I was walking home from school and I don't know why this happened, but somebody that I knew in my class said to me, hey, you know that Inside Out 2 is going to be a 15? And I was like, what? Why? And this is like, this is like 2015, 2016. So Inside Out 2 wasn't even announced yet. Nobody even knew this was going to happen. And this is like, it's going to be a 15 because it's going to be like, you know, about puberty and like, you know, sex and stuff. I mean, it turned out not to be a 15. I mean, what a shocker. But it was a really effective way to explore puberty. It's a difficult thing to get right. You know, a lot of films struggle with the teenage experience. And this one, it condenses it literally into a weekend, into like 3 days. And isn't there? No, that does not at all encapsulate the entire experience of puberty, but it does do a good job of building those early days and the emotions that you feel. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's a very relatable film when it comes to dealing with feelings with anxiety, embarrassment, and envy. And one of the interesting things that Pixar was doing to make this film believable in terms of feelings and anxiety, they interviewed teenagers about the film, like, how does Riley act? Does it make it believable towards the audience? It's really interesting when it comes to movies that depict panic attacks or anxiety attacks in animation. You can always see that in films. And there was an interesting discourse over the last year about how animation are trying to depict anxiety on screen. But this here, I thought it was really depicted well, how our thoughts are just jumbled with, I gotta be better, I gotta be prepared for tomorrow. It just really was relatable. And I just felt like that was the best thing they'd done for this movie, just to explore this anxiety. And we all got anxiety in our lives, you know, we just bow through with it. And I thought that was the best core element of the film, just helped you to explore Riley as a character to deal with this.
Yeah, we finally did. We've got another realistic depiction of a panic attack. That was my big moment in the cinema. I was like, we did.
Yeah, like, you could be pointing at the screen, be like, oh my God, it's a panic attack.
Yes. We did
yes,
it.
Yes, I feel seen. Yes, yes.
Yes. I loved that manifestation of mounting pressure, and we literally get to see anxiety, the character, become more and more stressed and more consumed by this bubble that locks everyone else out. That was such a fascinating thing. And it makes sense. Like, the emotions in this film are darker and more complex, and there is an attempt to get into that. I thought that anxiety and envy and embarrassment were perfect. They were on the money. I have to say, ennui is a very strange choice. And I don't really know if the film knows what ennui is. Like, they describe it as boredom, but ennui is more like depression, I would say. Like, it's a very interesting emotion to introduce, and they don't really do anything with that character. I was very confused as to, like, okay, we're gonna have four new emotions, and one of them is ennui. Felt like this really strange, I understand, like, the kind of dark mirror of all the regular emotions, but, like, what a strange choice.
It's a very strange choice, because it's just like, are they trying to show depression into an animation? It's just like, here we go, guys, we got depression over here.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, that's a bit real. It's just like, it really shows procrastination and just doesn't do a lot of stuff in the movie. So it's just like in the back of the mind. But also, it's just like, again, they brought in new concepts, but it's just like the characters, like, they brought in nostalgia.
Oh my God.
Or a funny joke. Which is
nostalgia
funny
was funny. Yeah.
Oh, 10 seconds ago, we were, you know, just like,
yes,
building a team together. I really like that. It's just like, the older we get, we look back 10 seconds ago. But it, you know, it's just those moments in the film help to build it with the comedy. You know, the comedy is just great in this movie. I thought it was just really funny and relatable. I don't know which parts are relatable. The feelings, I guess. This is what Pixar are doing. It's like, what if emotions have feelings, you know?
Whoa.
Like, whoa.
Okay. Can you imagine such a thing? No, there are some really funny moments. And, I, you know, the comedy wasn't really for me, but there were some. Just, I think nostalgia is a great one, because that's a joke that's so easy to overdo, but they don't. They work it perfectly, literally twice in the film. And I loved that. But particularly, I really enjoyed the expansion of a lot of the factors inside the imaginations. And there's a scene with secrets, and we get to see this old video game character who I thought was hilarious. He has like this special move. And then that was brilliant. And there's also like a kid's cartoon character with like a little zip bag. When they use that really funnily later on in the film, I have to say that was really great. And they were also playing with animation styles there. We had like a classic cartoon effect and something that was more akin to like a PS2 cutscene. Those were really great. It felt like that's a reaction to something like Spider-Verse that uses all these different animation styles, but none of it overstays its welcome. It all feels still focused. I really enjoyed that we got to see a lot from the pre-existing emotions. Like, Joy is still the main character, but we get to see more from anger and from fear and from disgust, and a bit less from sadness. And I feel like that is a really just fun. Sequels are always good to make different pairings, different characters, give them a bit more of the spotlight. And I really enjoyed that.
It was an interesting direction to have Joy still be the main character from the first one. I mean, it did feel like she was. But I did like, you know, how they carried out Joy and Sadness relationship from the first one, because they had to explore about each other's emotions, literally. I'm glad they continued that. That was something that I was worried about the sequels. Is it going to be a self-contained story? But no, they carried stuff from the first one to learn about Riley moving from a different place. And Sadness kind of got to be a character here, but I just felt like that was just to keep the story going, which I was like, okay, we could have seen more Sadness to see about anxiety in a way. And how the first one was talking about, like, it's okay to be sad sometimes, but here it's about we all get anxious thinking about the future and thinking about, like, how do we overcome it. And I really liked the dichotomy between the new emotions and the central emotions as well. Like, the new emotions want to be different, to have Riley new friends, and then to become a new person with this anxiety, you know, to be prepared and stuff. And then it all comes down to a great resolution where all of those emotions combined. It's kind of similar to the first one, like how they learn about the emotions can be combined as well. But, you know, it's like the message, like, you're not ready yet. You're still developing those emotions. You're still learning about them. And it's Riley's character arc as well to learn about. She's not ready yet. It's still learning. So I thought that was a really good message to round up there for all the characters, really, to understand that.
Yeah, and I think the other emotions as well, much like the original emotions, just so well cast. Mihawk, Io Debari, those two specifically really stand out and really embody their emotions in a really effective way, I thought. And I think this is a good chance to get into spoilers, because I do want to say, in terms of the plot, I felt it was a little bit too similar to that of the first film. As you just said, it is kind of just like, in the first film, it's like, yeah, all emotions are okay. And second film, it's like, yeah, all the emotions are okay.
All the emotions are okay. We're going to be like, fine, guys.
Yeah, the whole thing, again, is kind of like we're kicked out of the console room and we have to go on this journey to get back there so we can stop emotions being overridden and to let that flow of emotion go once more. In the first film, we see where all the memories are stored and we see the imagination plays and we see those exact same things in here. And there are some really cool expansions of the lore. There's the brainstorm, which is very fun, and the sarcasm, very nice. I thought that the belief system as well, that makes so much sense. When you're a kid, it's all emotion, but then as you're an adult, you begin to create a sense of yourself and what you believe and what you stand for. That was all really interesting stuff. But ultimately, I just feel like the plot, it wasn't different enough to give me anything completely unique or memorable. If you want to compare this to other Pixar films, I feel like all the Toy Story films, for instance, as sequels, are all great because they are so different. They all have like that same basic story of, you know, the toys get separated from Andy or from their owner and they have to get back in some capacity, but it's done in a different way. We get to see different like corners of the universe. And this one, I just didn't feel like it was enough different for that. And I was really kind of unsure about it at points. But then there were like some really effective emotions in this film. There's the entire ending where all the emotions come together and there is the realistic depiction of a panic attack. And the moment when Joy is called to the console and Riley plays hockey, I thought that was just beautiful. And I want to say this film, it wasn't scored by Michael Giacchino, who did the first film, but it was still very effective, the music. There was a lot of dark versions of the classic Inside Out theme, but this film knew when to use that. That simple piano melody is so beautiful. And they play it at the beginning of the film, and then we transition out of it. And it just gives me chills. It makes you feel warm and emotion. It's a perfect piece of music because it makes you feel every emotion somehow. You feel sad, you feel happy. There's something of the unknown in there. It's beautiful. And they don't use it pretty much throughout the entire film until that moment when all the emotions come together and Riley plays hockey and is just doing what she loves and Joy is controlling the console and all the other emotions are watching and they're all united in that moment. I thought that was so brilliant. And as somebody who isn't always physically moved by films, I was getting quite choked up. I thought it was really, really effective.
I kind of teared up. Right? I'm gonna be real.
Let's get real right now. Emotions were flowing and that's what they wanted. As much as the plot I did think was a bit derivative and it didn't do a whole lot for me in quite a lot of its sections, they nailed those emotions. Like Kelsey Mann, the director, really effectively captured that heart of the series.
Yeah, it was very effective what they've done with the emotional beats of the story. Like, again, it's the structure that kind of really nailed down to identify the feelings of the story and think about the emotions as well. But one other thing that I wished that I could have seen in this movie is like more development from the human characters, really. Because again, this is a problem when it comes to like, you know, this is the emotions that we're looking at. And that's the core element when it comes to the Inside Out movies. Like we're exploring the emotions, exploring about like what they want, what they need. But it becomes one dimensional when it's from the human side as well, like how Riley acts towards her parents or her friends. And I wish we could have seen more of not this one-dimensional human world. It's just like how they tackle over their emotions as well. We could have seen more of the humans' characters, like how they develop their own feelings and stuff. And then the other thing was like, I was thinking about, it would be interesting if the emotions could see their other emotions. Like there was a really good scene where Disgust was like analyzing this character's face of like their expressions. And I thought that was fantastic. It just really reminded me of the memes of like, enhance, further enhance,
yes.
And it was great. I really like that. But I wonder if like this is the big existential question for them, but it's like, do they know, are they like them in the other people's emotions, you know, like this whole other society of emotions, that kind of thing. We could have seen that, but then again, I agree, the plot just felt very similar to the first one. They got concepts in there, they got really cool concepts about beliefs. It's just, again, sequels.
Yeah, what do you do? Exactly. It's especially when you have such a fresh concept as Inside Out, it's like just another story. If anything, maybe it should have been a different person, you know, maybe
a completely different person.
Like, you know,
I agree.
Because you're right, when you get to see it in the heads of the other characters, it can be really interesting. And I agree, I felt the emotions of the emotions, if that makes sense, but I never felt like the emotions. Yeah, but
wow,
I never felt
we're getting Inception over here, ladies and gents. Christopher Nolan directed Inside Out 3.
Confirmed. But I never felt the emotions of like the scene. Like when Riley is, yeah, you know, playing hockey, I never felt the emotions of that. Like it does feel a little bit one-dimensional. I agree. There's even a scene. This was something that irked me. In the first film, there's a scene where Joy is amongst all the dead emotions and she looks at the core memory and she realizes that the core memory is happy and sad and she has this massive realization. And then she realizes that she can call on the bing bong thing and fly away. In this film, the exact same thing happens. Joy sits down and looks at the emotions, you know, she cries and she looks at them, and then anger realizes they can call the fanny pack and, you know, get the dynamite. It was pretty much beat for beat the exact same thing. This film never surprised me. This film never like took it in different directions. It's so difficult to make any sequel work, but the ones that do are the ones that really stray to something else. You know, Puss in Boots: The Last Wish is one of the best sequels I've ever seen, and that does everything unexpected and really pushes itself, especially when you consider what the first film was all about. And so I feel like, yeah, that kind of was disappointing. And I think overall, as much as I think this film is good, for me, this has so much less value than many of the other Pixar films of this decade so far. Lightyear is in another league. That ain't a good film. But other than that, every other Pixar film has had so much more to say, had so much more uniqueness and originality that I just didn't feel with this film. And I'm scared, John. I don't want animation to just be sequels and franchise
or
films.
Yeah,
I don't want it to just be studios aiming for universality. As much as sequels can be great, you know, this film was good. There's a lot of universal themes that I felt, but it's not the best that Pixar has to offer. And I fear that what will probably be a positive box office for this film, it will propel them further towards more films like this, rather than something like Elemental or Turning Red or Luca or Onward or Soul. All these films that are just embracing all these different elements of identity and culture and gender and things that not always hit me, but hit loads of people, rather than aiming to hit every single person. I'm really worried that we're just going to be getting, oh, it's Toy Story 5, Toy Story 6, Incredibles 3, Finding Nemo, you know, Finding Marlin. It's like, we don't need all of these. The reason why Pixar is memorable, the reason why Inside Out 2 is going to be really popular, is because of the original films. And if they stop making original content, that's even a problem. Thinking of it like content, not thinking of it like art, I'm really worried that this is what we're going to be reduced to. Help.
Wow, we've gone to the depression side.
This is all the emotions in this episode. That's we're on brand.
We're thinking about Inside Out, we're thinking about emotions. But for real though, that is a very scary idea to have, like, you know, when Pixar or studios just trying to keep doing the same thing over and over, like doing sequels or reboots to an expansive universe. If you want to expand the universe, cool, but again, nothing really adds value to the company. And the other thing is, when you see different studios like Studio Ghibli,
never made one sequel, I think.
Yes, I believe so. And when you look at their works, they have such an amazing way to connect the audience. It's childlike wonder. It's just nostalgia in a really good way of like reminding about the past rather than it's nostalgia bait. When it comes to Studio Ghibli, they really put their heart into it rather than they look into, okay, we need to continue this. This is why everybody loved this. No, it's something like represents the studio. We don't need a reminder of like, hey guys, look at the first film. This film was amazing. You should watch the sequels. And it's just like, well, I really liked your original content. The amazing films that you produced, we missed them.
Yeah. And, you know, for anyone who isn't aware, there was a recent report where Pixar are saying that they want to go for those universal concepts. They do want to make more franchise films. And that's why I'm so worried. It's not just predicting the future. This is something that they're actually actively wanting to do. It's this ripple effect of so many bad business decisions, like not releasing Soul or Luca or Turning Red in the cinema. I mean, look at Elemental. That film stayed in the cinema for ages and it ended up making so much more money because word of mouth, because people went to see it over a long period of time. A lot of films suffer from not doing amazingly in the first week at the box office and then them just immediately giving up on them. And I'm not saying that franchise films or sequels are a bad thing. I mean, look at this year. Dune Part 2 was fantastic. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Furiosa, all films that I loved. Sequels are not a bad thing, but prioritizing sequels and prioritizing more of the same rather than new original things, it's always a bit worrying.
It's a very conflicting thing to think about. I mean, sequels got to keep it fresh and exciting, really. And that's why I didn't felt like with this film, the plot is just very similar and it just kind of didn't really go into a new direction for the characters, really. But at the end of the day, they're going to make loads of money. Films today, they're kind of failing at the box office, like Fall Guy, Furiosa, those action films, or, you know, films that are trying to celebrate cinema. Those are the ones that are trying to make art or trying to make something fun. And now we're just getting a bit of the same thing.
Yeah, I think audiences also don't really want to take a shot on an original concept. I think there's a high chance that Despicable Me 4 will become the highest grossing film of the year, until Deadpool at least. But I don't want that to overshadow the fact that Inside Out 2 is a good film. So what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Yep, me too. 7 out of 10. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you liked it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, oh my God, I am so excited. It's Doctor Who season 1 or season 14, whatever you want to go for. I am so, so excited. Well, you know, 2 episodes left of the season. I'm so excited to talk about it. We did episodes on Day of the Doctor and the Best Doctor Who episodes and the 60th specials. So watch all of those. Get ready, because next week, 200th episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about Doctor Who, and I'm so excited. Can you hear how excited I am?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you excited you are? Oh my God.
Have you watched any of the season?
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asbel, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to LJ and Samir for the excellent theme, and Ronan Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. And to answer your question, no, I haven't.
Well, you're in for a treat. I mean, assuming these last 2 episodes are good, then, you know, you're in for a good time.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Doctor Who. It's just that I've been reading.
Nerd. You've been reading books.
Actually, yes. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.